Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Yes, I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts today.
Again.
As always.
Not just today.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And listen, this is part two. I'm calling it like the very special episode, you know, like the sitcom one where they like Greg Brady goes to Hawaii.
That's exactly what when you said the very special episode,
yeah,
that's exactly the episode I thought of,
the Hawaii
with the tiki necklace.
Yes. So this is nothing to do with that, but it's our very special episode where we loved Emma so much. Mm. If you remember last week's episode, Emma, she was just so incredible. It was such a great guest. It became immediately clear we needed her moms.
And we brought it to fruition.
So we have her moms here with us, Ray and Margie. And we pretty much beat up Emma to get them here.
It wasn't that hard.
I think they wanted to finally tell their side of the story.
Yeah. It's going to be really great to just hear in depth their version of how their family was created.
I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. Let's just get right to it.
Let's bring them in because they're outside waiting.
And that seems mean.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you sure you have enough time for us?
We have nowhere to be but with you two ladies.
Just depends on if you guys have somewhere to be.
Okay, so we are sitting here with the, I would say famous.
Famous, because we have talked them up.
Ray and Marjorie. Or it's Margie. You go by Margie.
Either one. Okay. Marjorie or Margie.
Okay. And they are also known as
Emma's moms.
I mean, remember when you had an identity?
Yes. Never as important one as that.
So. Right, that's true. We talk about that in our episode with Emma about how children think that. Our children don't realize their parents have an identity or a life.
Yeah.
So, but she realizes it now, she told us. So
good.
That's good.
I mean, she is 32.
Yeah.
So, any time now.
Atta girl. Yeah. Well, welcome. We're happy to have you guys here.
We're happy to be here.
That's great.
And we want to start off the way we do with everybody who sits in the seats, which is to give us the elevator pitch of your relationship. Should we start with Margie?
Well, I'm pretty much the straight woman in the relationship. I'm the reasonable one.
You're the reasonable one.
Yeah. The one that knows the rules and that kind of thing.
Interesting.
And that, you know, kind of keeps things moving ahead.
You keep everyone on track.
I keep everyone on track.
I can see that. Right. I get that.
And we have a very big household, so it's a big job.
I like breaking rules.
So this
innovating.
This is Ray.
And you call it innovating.
Innovating.
Like
mm-hmm. I proceed through life with a little bit of an attention deficit, and I look for new things to conquer, and I conquer them as a result of Margie's help.
That sounds like a lot of relationships I know.
Yeah,
truly.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
So we wanted to get into a little bit about, I mean, there were not a lot of people, a lot of gay people having babies at the time when you guys decided to have Emma. Do you want to tell us about that experience?
Well, that's how it looks now, I think, from your point of view. But from my point of view then, it seemed like everybody was having a baby.
Oh. Really?
And, I mean, that wasn't true in the wider world, but
New York world.
We went to this party that we were invited to by friends of ours who had a baby. And it was a party for all lesbians who either were pregnant or wanted to be pregnant, et cetera, et cetera. Remember, Ray? You don't remember
she's shaking her head now.
You don't remember going to that party with Margaret and...
I think I was so overwhelmed.
Shut down. Oh my God, this is weird.
Yes. And
it was weird about the people?
It was just weird being there. It's like they're really all doing this.
Okay, so it was a new and somewhat scary thing.
I mean, we had all grown up with two parents, you know, a father and a mother, and this was, we wanted to have a child.
Right.
But that didn't mean we didn't think it was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because both of us, I think our fathers were very important to us. Mm-hmm. And we thought, like, you know, can we really do this? Is it fair? Or is it whatever? So to see all these people in one place, it's like we ran out of there going, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can do this. But, yeah, it did seem like a lot of people were pursuing this. Not so much men, but the women first.
Really? Yeah. And so this party was pretty packed with lesbians who were talking about having babies.
Or were already pregnant. Yeah.
Well, I have no recollection of that event.
That's how traumatic it was.
This is not the infamous loft party that Emma talks about. Emma talks about a loft party that you guys met at.
Oh, that's where we met.
Oh, okay.
We met.
This is a totally different party.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking for a tall blonde, and I was introduced
Emma
to Margie.
Mentioned that. Emma mentioned that.
Yeah, well, Ray keeps talking about it.
Well, that's good.
And we had been together for about 8 years, and we talked to every one of our friends about having a child. And we met all these women who were adopting children.
Was that how most people were having kids back then?
Yes, they were adopting children.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people were, yeah.
And
by the way, for what year are we talking about, just for reference?
Well, Emma was born in 85, so...
Well, we would start... Okay.
Yeah, so we started talking about this about, I don't know, maybe 5 years before, 6 years before.
So 79, 80.
Yeah.
And so our friends by this time said, do it already. Do it already. You'll be good parents.
So you talked about it for a while.
A long time.
We talked with everybody, but I did not discuss it with my family, my brothers. And
what were your concerns? The bringing a kid into the world as gay parents, or just you two being parents, or
all of the above?
All of the above, I think. You know.
I was always fearful someone would come and take the baby away.
Really?
Wow.
I lived with great fear.
Even all through Emma's growing up, too?
Yes. And I didn't think my family would accept this. And it turns out that my brother, when we finally told him, said he would have helped if I had asked.
Oh. Like as with a donation?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Would you have done that?
It never occurred to us. It was not something that we would have thought of doing.
But that's really great to hear your brother say.
But my nieces and nephews are really terrific. So Emma's terrific also, but it wouldn't have been a terrible thing.
Right.
She wouldn't have been blonde, though.
Correct.
So that's a deal breaker right there.
Right there, you know.
We did not expect her to be blonde.
No, we talked about that.
Yeah.
We thought she would have dark, curly hair.
And come out talking.
Yes, and come out talking. And another terrifying event was seeing her without dark hair, without talking, and she was a small little baby, and we had been talking to her for 9 months. So Margie wanted to have a child. She wanted to birth a child. And
did you want to at any point?
No, because one, I don't think I loved myself enough to do that. Mm. And secondly, I was always concerned about my weight. Mm. And that would adjust. I thought my weight was on a manageable area. And I was really happy in my relationship. And I didn't know why we needed a third person. So I was.
Sounds like Mary.
I was really rooting for the adoption.
Okay, I wanted to ask this. Adoption, where were people adopting from? Was this... Foreign countries. Mm-hmm. And did it have to be secret that these were gay people adopting?
They were closeted when they were adopting. One person was the adoptive, the formal adoptive mother.
You couldn't adopt together, no.
Right.
One person had to adopt, and I think it might have depended on the country. Right. I'm not sure.
I mean, I think that still might be the case.
Some countries it is still, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I mean, I did want to actually try this pregnancy thing. I thought, well, you know, people have been doing it for thousands of years. It might be something I want to try. But besides that, I felt like I did feel like it would be very strange to have other people determining whether I could or couldn't mm-hmm. have this baby, and then the threat of maybe somebody coming and
taking
the baby
away. And that was a real threat.
And yes. It still is today in adoption.
Yes. I mean, yes.
Yeah. But even with you giving birth to the baby, it was still a threat, especially in Ray's mind.
Well, for Ray, it was a threat. I mean, it was a, because she didn't, at that point, did not have a legal relationship. We didn't have, in New York, there weren't second parent adoptions yet. Mm-hmm. And there obviously wasn't legal same-sex marriage either, so mm-hmm. she had no legal relationship, which would have been true if we had adopted as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the hospital, the social worker thought that this was going to be a private adoption, that Margie was having the baby and I was adopting it, and that she was giving up her child at adoption. So we had done, first of all, we went to a seminar, and we knew several things. One, we needed a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Two, we needed to have a washer dryer. And three, we needed to have a charge card at a Chinese restaurant so we could order food. We knew
That's
those things.
Smart.
So we did have a lawyer.
We're all set.
And Margie calls me and says they think I'm giving up Emma for adoption.
I'm sitting there with my stepmother, and this social worker comes in asking me these weird questions. And so it became clear that she thought I was giving up the baby. She said, I'm not giving up the baby.
That's scary.
Then she was like, who's this
other lady? Who is that woman who keeps sneaking in at 5:30 through the garbage entrance?
Oh, jeez.
So she was right. She was like on the phone with the lawyer.
Right away.
Like 10 minutes later, it was all resolved.
And well, the lawyer called the administrator of the hospital. And we had chosen this hospital because two lesbian parents we knew had used this hospital. We went to the midwives that were supposed to be very sensitive. Mm-hmm. In fact, they helped us choose which hospital mm-hmm. they thought we should go to. Mm-hmm. And so
God, it's amazing how particular you had to be, how much, so much more.
I'm just loving, you guys painting the landscape of what the world looked like mm-hmm. at this time, because it is extremely different. There still are the same fears, I think, that are just underlying for
so much less
same-sex couples, but it's less. And
it was a Catholic hospital also.
Mm-hmm.
So right after I gave birth, I guess it was the next morning, and our two closest guy friends came, presented themselves downstairs, and the receptionist nun said, which one of you is the father? And so neither one was a donor, but one of the guys said, we're both. And she goes, I know the facts of life. You can't both be the father.
You had to be hyper vigilant. Mm.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
And I'm sure it hasn't changed that much because, any moment, it could be the cab driver or the candy store person. At any moment, you have to figure out how much of the story you want to tell, right?
Mm-hmm. That is a mm-hmm. fact of life.
Yeah. Yep.
And for all of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was the same at that time.
You really do go through your life, unless you're just somebody who puts it all out in the open and doesn't care. But me, every outing is kind of like a decision-making thing where am I gonna say, no, I'm the other mom, or am I going to just let them think that,
yeah,
you know? That happens constantly for me. I don't know about you, Robin.
You know, I feel like less only because I feel like we're always together, and it's just like, and they're going mom, mommy, and it's just like, you can't, I don't know. I sign emails like the blonde mom, in the school, because it's just, you know.
Oh, that's smart.
Because nobody even knows who we are. They're always like, "It's you, Mary? Are you Robin?" So I don't know.
Well, people try to figure out. Mm-hmm. They try to figure out the relationship. It's clearly not just friends. So
right. Yep.
And
sometimes we get sisters, like on vacation.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the going out of the country is always a little bit like asking for the king bed. Because I'm like, I refuse to sleep in a double bed just because, you know, I am scared in Costa Rica. But, you know, but that moment at the hotel, I hate that moment at the counter to be like, can we have a king size bed? And they're always just like, you know, or that's my projection,
my own insecurities. Well, I feel it too. I think
I just hate having to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think you're a very rare and special person if you don't feel that awkwardness, personally.
I want the big bed more than I want to be.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get a king bed in the city.
So
right, back to you.
We, just about Emma's birth. So, and this is a great story. We wanted to do it right. So we took the Bradley method of childbirth. Mm-hmm. Which those classes went on forever. And I would say they
what
went
is
on
the Bradley method.
I have
I don't
no
know.
Idea
I just remember having to draw pictures of my uterus.
Oh, I bet that was super helpful during childbirth.
And they were very concerned that I should understand the father's role. And so I felt very awkward, and we would go for 2 hours. And I would say, breathe, breathe. And I'm not a good counter. And I was failing at the Bradley method. So one day they said, okay, we're going to separate the mothers and the fathers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just stood there. And they said, Ray, you're going with the fathers. And I had one friend in the group. He was Orthodox. Mm-hmm. And he befriended us, he and his wife. And they got us through the Bradley method because we had very common thoughts. And so I was so effective in the father's group because I talked about being isolated, excluded.
Because you're the only father who was talking about his feelings.
That's right.
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 Do you know they asked me to become a permanent member of the village's father's group?
Oh, my goodness. That's great, right?
No. It takes a woman to be a good man.
To be a good man.
I'm going to pause for a second. I'm going to ask you to rewind a little bit. And can you tell us about the process once you decided to have a baby? Can you tell us about the process of choosing your donor? How you IVF wasn't happening back then, I don't think. It was just...
We had these friends, the same one that invited us to that overwhelming party. They had used a particular doctor, mm-hmm. and we decided to do that. I don't really remember. There were sperm banks, but we didn't go that route. I don't really remember the thought process. This was what they had done, and it seemed fine to us.
There was it's just a particular doctor.
It's like lesbian drafting. I feel like that still happens to this day. I have one friend that was just like, who's your lawyer?
Yeah.
Who's your,
exactly.
your bank? And you just
plumber, electrician, inseminator.
So
you get the list when you get together. Here's your list of resources.
Didn't you go to the first appointment alone or did we go? No, you went alone.
No, we had to go. Remember they had a social worker who had to interview us?
We had to have psych evals.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were coached by our friends, you know.
Lesbian in New York loved ballet, concerts,
and had a
wide range of straight
male friends,
role models
you
for
had
the baby.
To say this.
I don't know, but that's, we were
They're
coached.
Looking for that, yeah, right.
They were looking for those answers.
I mean, we were really the Better Homes and Gardens approved, you know.
We rehearsed.
They didn't want to hear you taking you to a commune with all women and no clothes.
And no clothes and excluding men and stuff like that. No, that wouldn't have been, I mean, it wasn't us anyway, but it wouldn't
Raising
have been
Raising a
right.
man-hater.
Right.
You know, as we do.
Yeah, we right. Well, so we passed, of course, with flying colors.
Because you rehearsed.
Because we rehearsed.
You were like, God, these lesbians love the ballet.
Man, they're really.
Don't they know we rehearse? I mean, aren't they onto it?
I don't think they care. I feel like they're doing what they have to do. It's a challenge.
I'm sure the social worker was also a lesbian. I mean, who knows? But
most social workers are.
No, yeah.
Oh, come on.
She's like, we should hang out. Here. What are you guys doing later?
No, she. I recall she was very nice. But anyway, yeah, we did pass. And then we had to fill out a form, you know, like what do you want, you know, height,
traits,
eye color. And I sort of, did I do that alone or did we do that together? I don't remember.
No, you did that alone. You were anxious and you just checked things. And I'm sure you checked. I'm short guy because.
I tried to sort of. You know,
duplicate
more or less like somebody mm-hmm. would sort of fit in. I mean, it was my, you know, our one chance to have somebody tall in the family, and I just blew it. You know what I could.
But I did the same thing. I'm short too, and yeah, we looked for a short donor, which is so silly.
So where are you filling this form out for? Like, where are you getting the sperm from?
From this guy in this guy's office. He used
Upper East Side of Manhattan.
Upper East Side. He used medical students who would, at the appointed time, come to some place.
So they just needed money, probably?
And probably, yeah. Hmm. And what he told us was they were screened for basic things. I mean, there wasn't really any genetic testing done. Mm-hmm. But I think they were screened for, you know, sort of major illnesses in the family or conditions in the family. And interestingly enough, because this was 1985, after I became pregnant, we started to worry about AIDS.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But this was an anonymous donor with no chance for, you know, anybody knowing anything. So we never...
There was no way to know.
There was no way.
To find out after right. you were already pregnant.
Right.
So. That's scary,
And
too.
After Emma was born, there were maybe two or three occasions where we tried to find out information. One was around the AIDS crisis. Uh-huh. And two, when Emma was about 20 or 22, someone, her friend said, well, haven't you ever tried to identify who the donor was? And... we tried to investigate and find out what happened to the doctor's file and things like that, and we weren't able to.
Mm. How did you guys feel when that came up? Like when she wanted to you know, to find who the donor was?
Well, I think I was, you know, fine with it. I was not surprised. I felt a little... That wasn't actually the first time she had expressed an interest in knowing. Mm-hmm. Even when she was very young, she expressed an interest in knowing. And I think I always felt a little badly that, on the one hand, that we had made the decision to not have a known donor. I think it was the best thing for us because Ray would not have been able to handle, mm-hmm. It was hard enough being... not having a legal attachment. But so I think it was the right decision, but it was a decision and it had repercussions mm-hmm. so that she would never be able to know this part of her, you know, at least genetic background. So mm-hmm.
So we did regret not knowing the donor
uh-huh.
Because of health reasons and genetics mm-hmm. and that we had made a decision to deprive her of that knowledge and that didn't feel very good.
So we put another 50 cents in the therapy jar. And that made it all better.
Yeah. It helped, right? Yeah, but a couple times it's come up that, Ray, you were a little uncomfortable with... first, Margie said you were uncomfortable with the non-known donor situation, or finding out the donor would have maybe been uncomfortable. Can you expand on that? I mean, your role as the non-biological mom, what was that like for you?
I was going to pass over that. I thought we'd run out of time and you wouldn't
I'm getting
get
in
to
deep.
That. Well, first of all, I had been in a lot of therapy and I thought I was doing really well. I had a good relationship. We had lot of fun walking around and doing things in New York and going to concerts and... going to B&Bs, all of those things. And now we're raising a child, and everybody asks, who's the real mother?
Yeah.
Who's the biological mother? And everywhere we went, people asked this question. So One, you know, I was always worried about not having a legal relationship. Mm-hmm. I always worried if Margie got a cold, something would happen. I know. And her family is perfectly nice, but they didn't sign a legal document recognizing that mm-hmm. I was the co-parent.
Did you ask them to?
No, but we should have. Yeah. I think I would have felt better.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas. Would you sign this?
Yes, right. Yes.
And I think Emma had a hard time having two mothers. Mm. But I think in a traditional relationship, my child would have had a hard time. I'm very creative. I'm all over the place. You know, I'm sure she told you if we go shopping, I buy multiple ones so she could decide when she gets home. She writes about all of this stuff. Yeah. So I think it was hard for her and it was hard for me. Mm. However, I spent a lot of time spiritually and I realized that she was here to teach me lessons and that I had to look at this relationship from a spiritual point of view and what lessons I had to learn. Mm.
And you say that you think Emma had a hard time having two moms.
I don't agree with that, actually.
No. Yeah, I didn't. That wasn't the impression I got from her, but I did get the impression that you two had a power struggle.
Yeah, there was a power struggle. And
I don't know if I would call it that, but I just did.
It was a struggle. It was a power struggle. I mean, I think, there are certainly many families where one child doesn't get along as easily with the father or later the mother, you know, mm-hmm. depending. Mm-hmm. And I think Ray has a very strong personality. She's extremely loving and very creative, but she has a very strong personality. And, you know, I think that there was a personality struggle.
Emma has a strong personality,
and
too.
Emma has a very strong personality. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, I'm so fabulous, everybody wanted my attention. You know, I mean,
you sound like my mother.
Who wouldn't fight over me?
Yeah.
So, it was at times very difficult, but right. I think it was difficult as it might have been in another family configuration.
I think that we could be talking to any family.
That sounds like personality based, not
that's
lesbian
what
parents.
I think. But when you're already feeling insecure mm-hmm. in this kind of, you know, non-traditional situation and you don't have the legal or the right. biological ties, you know, Ray took it very mm-hmm. personally and it was very difficult.
Did you feel any difference? Emma spoke about you guys moved out to Connecticut. Did you feel any difference there from the city?
It felt very isolating. Mm-hmm. We were obviously a minority. Mm-hmm. We interviewed every elementary school principal yeah. that was in the target area where we were looking to buy.
Saying, like, how would you handle our dynamic?
Yes, yes.
Wow. And some of them were pretty clueless or
I mean,
blushed.
All of this was very stressful. I mean,
yeah,
we would interview.
Sure. But also there were other families with, raising a child, same-sex, but they, in our area, as it turns out, even on our street.
Oh.
But nobody, according to the after-school program that we became friendly with, she says, you know, there are other kids with the same-sex parents for whatever configuration that, you know, mm-hmm. led to that, but they're not open. Hmm. That yours is the only one that's
Pioneers.
Open.
Pioneers.
So.
Were they just pretending like it wasn't happening? Like,
yeah, that, yeah.
And I had the...
we're just that they were parents are just friends or...
Oh, mm-hmm. that's no good.
Yeah, but that was very common.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had the philosophy that if we kept this a secret, we would create a sick environment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that no matter where we were, we had to be open about our relationship and we had to be open about Emma. Mm-hmm. I think that we both would go to every conference. We both became brownie leaders.
Oh, my God. We were the most unconventional brownie leaders.
Good. They needed that.
Oh, my God. It was funny.
No, you weren't concerned about being a brownie leader and them coming after you and being like, we don't want lesbians. Like,
of course we were concerned, but I
But there was
take
no
action.
Room in the brownies for our child. We had to start a new troop.
Right.
It does feel like you created a community in part because of parenting, you know, and because of that you had to do these extra things. You built your own community.
I think that's true, but I also think that people generally want to be welcoming and inclusive.
It's refreshing to hear you say that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's hard to remember that,
but we did feel that people generally went out of their way, I mean, to embrace our family. Mm-hmm. I mean, I certainly feel that way.
It mm-hmm. seems like it's because you guys, again, like you did this really great thing of just taking on and being like, we're going to find the people who support us and make our community. You know, it's like you looked for it and found it. As opposed to hiding like maybe some of the other people did.
I mean, I think that's true, you know, to some extent.
You should take some credit.
I'll take some credit. I mean, I think hiding is almost always a bad idea.
I feel like we were pioneers and that we set a tone. So a number of young women who did come out in West Hartford came to us later and thanked us for being so open.
Mm, that's true.
And yeah, but many young people came to us and thanked us and brought home to us the person they were in love with.
Oh, that's so nice. Amazing.
I bring my family into my work. I'm not closeted. I can't be because I made this decision.
I think it's harder to not be out when you have a wife and a child or children.
The kid puts it over the edge. I think when we were single, Mary's parents didn't know, and when we didn't have a kid, I should say. And then as soon as I was pregnant, I said to Mary, listen to me. I'm not going back to your house for Christmas and pretending I'm just chubby. I was like, we gotta move this along.
Yeah.
Even though her dad was 90. It didn't go so well. But then it came back around later. Now we still see them.
But it's harder to not be out in the open. And I think those are choices that we make.
Yeah.
And you guys are pioneers in doing it.
And then, Emma always, she was aware of the situation and wanting to kind of have control over it. You know, that was very apparent. Mm-hmm. So she would meet some kids when we were visiting somebody, she'd go out and she'd meet some kids and she'd say, I have two mommies, you know. And they're like looking at her like, what?
Yeah.
When we went to her first Connecticut, parent-teacher thing, this very nice teacher said to us, she said, this family came in and they said that their son came home and was talking about alternative insemination. And she said, I just want to, we never talked to him about the facts of life, because they were only like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And they said that, I mean, that's fine, but we would just want to know if he really, like, was he making this up or,
Nope.
That was Emma. She was instructing everybody.
That's funny.
And that she's been very inclusive of the two of us in her life.
I think that, at least from my point of view, we've been extremely fortunate in the people who have responded to us in the way that they have responded. Mm-hmm. Very lucky.
You know, we have a team, Emma. And we had a naming ceremony for Emma. I don't know what happens in the first 30 days. Mm-hmm. And we didn't, in some places you would name godparents. We had guardians, and a number of the men and women who were in our lives really assumed spiritually a guardianship. Mm-hmm. And not all of them have come through and been there, but...
But a lot of them have.
And they set aside money for her education. Wow. They connect on every holiday, and even friends, we've been together over 40 years.
Congratulations.
And so
that's with not agreeing.
80%.
Yeah.
Ish.
So. We used to debate. We used to never agree on how long we had actually been together, but I think we've pretty much
settled that now.
We settled that after.
You're rounding off at 40.
Yeah.
You said a little bit ago that Emma has always been inclusive of the two of you, and I just thought that that wasn't just an interesting thing to say. I don't know if many mothers or fathers would say that, you know, in a traditional family, that she's included both of us. So I just, could you expand on that?
Well, spiritually, I believe the three of us have been through life before mm-hmm. together, and we have a spiritual contract with one another.
I love that.
And so that it extends far, then that's not necessarily what Margie believes.
Have you read Shirley MacLaine?
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan.
So.
Good.
When I say we're inclusive.
Margie's not in the same world.
She's inclusive of us, is she shares her life with us, her worries, her concerns. You know, just we made a point of the last 3 days, we wanted to spend more time with her and the gentleman, the boy she's dating. I mean, he's more than a boy. And
I would hope so.
And we wanted, and so we just said, we're going to come to New York, mm-hmm. and we're going to meet you for dinners and do movies or things mm-hmm. afterwards. And we did that for 3 days, and we just, the four of us, getting to know who this person is and him getting to know us mm-hmm. without everybody being there with us. And it was really special. And it was special that, I mean, she's leaving today on a plane for an international trip, and it was just special that she took the time to do that and include us.
Mm-hmm. I think if we have any regrets, if you can call them that, I don't know that I would actually use that word, but we probably should have had more than one child, because
you should have had like 12.
No, thank 12 you more, very much.
12 liberal little children coming out of your mouth. 12 little
liberal children. One of them might have
been through therapy.
One of them, you know, you don't know.
You don't know where they're going to go.
We could have gotten one little Trumpite in there.
Oh, God.
But the other 11 would have pounded them down. We'd be fine.
One is a lot. With one, you know, you're putting a lot of love into this one little poor little vessel. I think there's a little bit of a little pressure there,
mm-hmm.
but
she seems
anyway,
good to me.
She's doing. I think she's doing pretty well. So you ladies, you did a good job.
Well, and thank you again. Thank you so much for coming by today.
Yes,
thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I feel so complete is the word.
They're great people.
Amazing, and just. Getting to hear the story from their point of view and just seeing, I mean, I'm like just naturally going right into my favorite moments because I just loved them,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like seeing how they made Emma. And it's you, after meeting them, you can just see how Emma became Emma, right?
Right, right. Yeah. They put a lot of thought into that little
so
girl.
So thoughtful.
Yes.
Just the Team Emma creating, like they created community. But what I think, despite Ray's concerns for baby being taken away and, mm-hmm. and like it seems like she has a default setting that's something negative is going to happen. Despite that, they went into everything with these really positive, we're going to create this community. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this thing. And I almost feel like having Emma forced her to do that.
Right. And I think it's so ingrained in them that they don't even necessarily realize that they're doing that, that they go in with that mindset.
And I wish, this is my only other thing, I wish that we were filming it, because if you could have just seen Ray's little face, just nodding and rolling her eyes and Margie's face.
There was a lot of nonverbal communication.
Margie, 40 years of nonverbal communication. Margie's face when Ray said something was amazed. I love them.
They're definitely, they're an adorable couple.
They were.
Yeah, and I think that for me, what I took away from it is, you know, the difference between raising a non-traditional family then versus raising a non-traditional family now, whereas we all still have the same fears, but mm-hmm. I feel like theirs, I don't know if I can say they're more visceral, they're more on the surface than ours.
Well, they're just really in touch with them.
Right, that's true.
And they're very verbal about them, which mm-hmm. is, you know, I think one of the aspects of two women. Mm-hmm. Like, they were just like, they knew their shortcomings and talked about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And just, this is just so well thought out. And the fears that are accompany creating a non-traditional family, they're there. They have them. They're still there. Mm-hmm. And they take them very seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, even just the two of us, we kind of can skim over those fears and laugh them off.
Yeah.
They don't laugh those fears off. Mm-mm. And I think that there's the difference there. And I don't know if it's because they started, they were pioneers in it.
I don't think they didn't get to be so cavalier because
right.
they were opening the doors for us.
Mm-hmm. And we can be flippant about it now. And
yeah, with our second parent adoption and our gay marriage, right. it's like, and our liberal schools that mm-hmm. are like, come on in, you know, we don't celebrate Father's Day, you know, like right. we can... They didn't have any of that.
It's a different world.
Yeah.
And we owe it to them
mm-hmm.
that we are able to laugh about it.
And also, I when we're done here, I'm just going to go to their house and hang out because I want to know.
This is a recurrent theme with you, Robin.
No.
You want to go.
What's going on in my house? Mary, I love you.
I heard Mary is cooking you an amazing dinner right
now.
She
is. I'm excited for that. Yeah. Well, guys, we want to say, I'm sure you loved Ray and Margie as much as we did. So hit us on the Facebook and the Twitter. Facebook, If These Ovaries Could Talk. Twitter, Ovaries Talk. And you know, tell us what your favorite moments and all that jazz. I mean, just communicate with us.
Talk to us.
Community.
On that note, you know, Ray and Margie created such a strong community for their family, which we talk about in our podcast. But they also... discussed, I don't know if it was Margie or Ray who talked about going through life almost every day. There's the question of how much of my story am I going to tell mm-hmm. to the bodega guy or to the taxi driver, you know.
How many situations revolve around the bodega guy?
I mean, a lot.
A lot.
And the taxi driver.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. it happens a lot. We're yeah. New Yorkers, so that's our world.
Yep.
But we want to know from you guys out there, how open are you about your non-traditional family? Is this a question that you find yourself asking on a day-to-day basis, or is this not even on your radar?
Yeah, share some stories with us.
Are you completely open, or are you somewhat closeted? We'd love to know.
Yeah, I would also like to hear funny stories, like awkward moments where you've been forced to be open and maybe didn't want to, my king-size bed in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Share with us. We'd like
to
hear.
I'm sure we have so many of those, too.
Yeah.
All right. Community.
I mean.
It's time for that.
Part two, it is. Here we go. Are you ready?
Ready.
Eggs.
Ovaries. Out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.